Before we can delve into the gospel, I think it's important for us to have this understanding of the Greco-Roman world and how it worked. It had an honor hierarchy structure, which is not too different to how our Western culture sometimes works, but it's unequivocally similar to many, if not all, of the Eastern cultures, and I'll tell you a bit about it. That's how I'll start my sermon. And then we'll go on into the gospel and what it says. So in the Greco-Roman period, if you owned land, if you had slaves, you gained a certain honor. You gained honor and privilege in society. The richer you were, and the more prestigious your job was, so the closer you worked with the emperor, or the more honor you gained within society. Or if you were a religious person, like a cleric, then you gained honor in society. But the problem with gaining honor is that it can also be lost. Now, we also have this honor hierarchy in our own culture. You can see it in certain places. Certain jobs have great reverence in society, and we as a people treat these people with certain jobs with greater reverence. Like, think of a doctor or a lawyer, a politician, and even clerics, right? Or if you go to some towns or some smaller places, there are certain family names that are given high honor because they're the ones that started the town. And they gain this honor within society. And just like the Greco-Roman world, I submit to you that honor that is gained by the position that we hold can be lost. What is gained can be lost. So here is an example, an illustration to unravel my point, explain my point a bit more. There was an Undersecretary of Defense of the United States, and he was giving a speech in this large conference, speaking to thousands of people. He was recently retired, and so he was no longer the Undersecretary of Defense. And while he was talking, he takes a sip out of the styrofoam cup, a sip of coffee out of the styrofoam cup. And as he takes a sip, he looks at the styrofoam cup. He smiles to himself, and he goes off script, and he says this: "Last year, I spoke at the same conference, and last year, I was still the Undersecretary of Defense. They flew me here business class. When I arrived at the airport, there was someone waiting for me at the airport. They took me to the hotel. Someone had already checked me in, so they just took me to my room. Next morning, I came downstairs, and there was someone waiting for me in the lobby, and they drove me to this very same venue. They brought me from the back entrance. They brought me in from the back entrance and took me to the green room, and someone handed me a coffee in a ceramic cup." And then he goes on to say, "I'm no longer the undersecretary. I flew here coach. I took the taxi to the hotel, and I checked myself in. There was no one waiting for me in the lobby this morning, so I took another taxi to come to this venue. I came from the front door, and I found my way backstage, and I asked someone to get me coffee, and they pointed me to a coffee machine on a table at the corner, and I poured myself some coffee in a styrofoam." And then he goes on to say this: "The lesson is that the ceramic cup was never meant for me. It was meant for the position that I held." This is our culture. What is gained can be lost, because our honor is connected to the office we hold, not the person that we are. So in the Greco-Roman world, when you go into a wedding, those with high honor gained a certain position to go sit in the front. It's like going to the courtside seats at a Raptors game. You know, you could sit beside Drake and Jay-Z, and they just walk up with puffed chests, you know, walking up to the front. You can just imagine how proud they would have felt with all that honor that they had gained in society. You'd walk up like you own the place. And in our gospel today, Jesus calls us out of such a cultural mindset. And he calls us to ground our identity, not in the office we hold, but in something more certain and unshakable. So here's how the story unfolds. Jesus is at a wedding. He notices these people with high honor walking their way up to the front. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he tells them a parable. And this is an important factor in our gospel today. He tells them a parable. He's not telling them how to behave socially with this story. And we don't read parables literally. It serves a purpose. It's a story. So to explain the difference between reading this as a parable and reading this literally, let me first read it literally so you know what it would sound like. So if we read it literally, Jesus tells the disciples that humility looks like a person who takes a seat in the back and wait till the banquet owner comes and takes them to the front. That's what humility looks like. But if you think about it, that isn't real humility. The people that do such things are actually pretending to be humble by taking a seat in the back and waiting, anxiously waiting for the banquet owner to come and take them to the front, in front of everyone. Now, I know people like this, and I know that you know people like this, the kind of people that humble themselves so that others will think that they're humble and they want to show everyone just how humble they actually are. That's not real humility. It's actually quite pretentious, duplicitous. It's fake humility. And that is not what Jesus is telling his disciples. So I'm thankful that Luke says, and Jesus tells them a parable. Luke says Jesus turned to his disciples and he told them a parable. You see, parables are like fables. Like the rabbit and the turtle, that's a parable. If you Google parable, one of the synonyms underneath the parable is a fable. They're analogous to a deeper spiritual truth. And so Jesus is telling his disciples a fable, one that sounds very real, to describe the unseen realities of the kingdom of God. There's always more to the story. In order to understand a parable, you have to start at the tail end. You have to know the moral to understand the parable. Like, for example, the hare and the turtle. The moral is slow and steady wins the race, and then you read it into the story. But if you just hear the story, you think, well, you shouldn't go to sleep. You shouldn't be lazy, otherwise you don't win. But go really fast. But that's not the intention of that story. In the same way, the intention of a parable is always found in the tail end. And the moral of the story is this. Jesus says, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Or to put it differently, honor, Jesus says, is given, not gained, to the one who is humble. So the big question here is this. What does this deeper spiritual kingdom humility that Jesus teaches us look like? And so C.S. Lewis writes this, and I've added the word kingdom here. Kingdom humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking yourself less. Read that one more time. Kingdom humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking yourself less. What does that mean? We can spend a lot of time thinking less of ourselves, but we only end up thinking a lot about ourselves. Let me explain. Even though we're thinking less of ourselves, we're still thinking about ourselves. We're still The problem with pride is not that we think high thoughts or low thoughts about ourselves, but it's that we think lots of thoughts about ourselves. It's self-centered. On the other hand, when we think ourselves less, our focus shifts from us to the other. And here's where the banquet parable makes sense. We are called to sit in the back because we want others to go to the front. Kingdom humility isn't about ourselves and how to make ourselves look better within society. Kingdom humility is the virtue of letting others take a seat of privilege and honor by taking a seat in the back. Kingdom humility is fundamentally a form of self-forgetfulness as opposed to pride's self-fixation. Kingdom humility can set you free because when you think yourself less, you're free to think about Jesus and our neighbors more. This kind of humility puts us on the path of grace, and God, the Bible says, gives grace to those who are humble. When we have kingdom humility, God notices, according to the parable. The banquet owner notices. And when we raise others, be enablers of others, in the best use of the word, Jesus says, God exalts us. And when God exalts us, he bestows us with honor, one that isn't gained, which can be lost, but one that which is given. You see, when the banquet owner takes the guy from the back to the front, it is honor given that can never be taken away because he is placed in the place of honor. But the one who walks to the front, who says, I have gained this place, he says, you'll be sent to the back. What is gained can be lost, but what is given will never be lost. And what kind of honor does Jesus give us? He gives us the honor of being children of God. If you think about a wedding, all the kids are always up in front. Adopted into his family because of what Jesus did on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus exemplified for us kingdom humility. He suffered humiliation in kingdom humility. He suffered so that we could be adopted. He was made less so we could be made more. He was humbled so we could be exalted. It's a famous song that goes, while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And because of Jesus, we are given honor that can never be taken away. This is our sure foundation. What is gained can be lost, but what is given can never be taken away. Let us have our foundation in what is given, in Christ, and let us find our identity in Christ, and not in the offices we hold, not in the things we do, not in the things we achieve, but as children of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us as children, for giving us the place of honor. God, we thank you for exalting us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that as we follow your Son, that you would give us the ability to do as Christ did, to humble ourselves and to exalt others. We ask all of this in your Son, Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.